Welcome to the Collide Podcast. This is Willow, and I am super happy to be in the podcast recording room. I wish I was sitting with you wherever you are. I don't know if you're in your car or you're in your kitchen or on a treadmill, but all of those places might be cooler than this old bathroom that I record the podcast in. Super glam. Anyways, I love handing you stories of people who've experienced collisions with Jesus. People who've experienced his power, his reality, his goodness, and his transformation. And today, I'm handing you an interview I just did with Veronica Cornejo, who is on staff at Elevation Church. She also serves in the Next Gen with young adults, and she helps lead married couples, and she's about to release her book called Unshackled, all about her story of being a teen mom and experiencing a journey of breaking free from generational bondage that was passed down to her. And she shares about her mom being a teen mom, and then her being a teen mom, and then her raising children, and how she's seen God show up and really show her that a new way is possible. And I think that's what's so cool about listening to each other's stories. The power of sharing story is that we get to hear about what God can do in another person's life. And if he can do it in her life and her life and her life, then why couldn't he do it in my life? And so that's my encouragement to you today as you listen to Veronica's story. Maybe you haven't been a teen mom, but you are desiring to know that new is possible, that God's power is real, and that transformation is something that he can bring about. If that's where you're at, listen to this story. Veronica, it's so fun to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I love that. You are on staff at Elevation Church, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
And so you're calling in from where?
South Carolina.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I work in North Carolina. I'm like on the border in with the North. So live in the South, but work in the North.
Okay, yeah. I love it. Well, I love that you made time to hop on today. I want to talk to you about your life, your story, the way that God has shown up in the hard chapters, the good chapters, all the things. And you're about to release a book called Unshackled. I know we're going to talk about the story you share in that book. But before we do, I mean, what made you decide to be brave and go, oh, I'm going to put my story out there for the world?
Yeah, the dream of writing and the desire, I would say, really did birth from a move, from relocating. So I relocated from Maryland about 2 years ago. And when I relocated, we weren't really sure why we were moving. We weren't sure like what God was doing, but we knew we needed to. And when I moved, that's kind of when I got like confirmation of I'm supposed to write. And I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know where to start. Honestly, I didn't know any other writers at that time to ask all the questions and to even know where to start. But I did know the desire to write and share my story was there. I was in a place in my life where I had had a full circle of just watching my kids break some generational chains and some curses and really break free from some of the things that I walked through. So I just knew that I couldn't stay quiet and I needed to share my story.
I love that. You couldn't stay quiet. So many of us, we are tempted to stay very quiet. So I love that you're putting yourself out there. How old are your kids?
Yeah. So my daughter is 20 years old. And then we have Julian. He is 16 years old. We have Matthew. He is my brother-in-law. We adopted him and he is 18 now. And then I have a stepson and he's 19.
Okay, holy
Yeah.
cow. You look so young. I'm looking at you thinking you look like you're in your 20s. So, Veronica, tell us about your story. You have overcome adversity. You became a teen mom. Can you rewind back to what you experienced and why you so are so passionate about helping people realize that they can actually break free from generational bondage?
Yes. I'm not sure when in my life exactly I came to this realization that I was kind of seeing a pattern within my family. So my mom was actually a teen mom herself. She was 17 when she was a mom, and then I was a mom at 16. And so I just kind of started to realize that there was like this pattern that was kind of following. And it was a consistent pattern within our family. And when I had my kid, my daughter, I really had this desire to want to not have her walk through the things that I walked through. And I just really did, I knew that I was going to need God to be able to do that. I was not going to be able to do that on my own. I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't really have that background. I mean, I got baptized in a Catholic church, but we didn't really go frequently. I would say we would go to church like on Easter Sundays, and I had like pictures of my Easter dress and all the things. And I feel like for sure just the realization of wanting to give a better life to my daughter and wanting to also for myself, I think there was like a sense of like I wanted to see that I could break some of the things that I was told that I needed to walk through, or and I did, and my mother, like just motherhood was hard. I did learn so much. There were so many things that I learned on my journey. But I've realized that God has used everything. Like He's used everything. He's used my marriage. He's used the way that He just led us to church, the way that we got involved, and just all the things. Like He has led all the way. I always say, like, it's never, I feel like sometimes we get caught up in the, well, I have never seen it done before. Like, it's never, I've never seen it to be, right? Like, I've never seen something to be possible. Like, not being able to see something, I think it's really hard to make it a goal, right? Because you don't know where to start. You don't know, like, how am I even going to get out of this? Like, what good can come out of this? Like, I just couldn't see that. And yeah, I think that God really did make that possible. In my early 20s, I joined the church, started serving, and that's really when our lives was transformed. And I've seen Him just send people our way. He's provided, you know, God has provided the right people. We got to just watch other people do ministry well, and we saw that it was possible. Like there was hope in that journey. And so I feel like when I do meet people, I'm like, it's never too late to go on this journey with God. It's never too late to allow Him to use those broken pieces in your life. Like He wants to, and I've seen Him use it in conversations that I've had with other women, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to see how creative God is in our stories.
I love that. I think you're talking about this idea of the power in seeing that a different way is possible. And I can totally resonate with that. My grandma was an alcoholic, actually died of alcoholism. My mother was an alcoholic. And by the time I was in college, my life was coming apart and coming unglued. And I think I spent most of my life knowing that I wanted to be nothing like my mom and nothing like her mom. That was kind of like my thing, is like, I don't want to be like my mom, and fought really hard not to be. And yet I'm not sure that I had an image of who I did want to be, right? And until I met Jesus, until I found Jesus and He invited me into just a beautiful way to live. I had no image of what was possible. I just knew what I didn't want to be. So when you became pregnant and you were a teenager. I think, did you say you were 16 or 17?
I was 16.
16. And you wanted to give your daughter something different than what you had. Did you have an idea of what that was? Or did you just know, kind of like me, like, I know I don't want to give my daughter what I had?
Yeah, I think the only idea I had was to do the opposite of what I had, really, is what it was. To be able to provide for her, to be able to get her into a good school, and to not struggle, to kind of find a space where, so my parents, they migrated from El Salvador, a firstborn, you know, generational American in my family. And so I really did just watch my parents struggle, right, to provide for me and to be able to give me a safe space. And we moved a lot. And so I really wanted to come out of that somehow. And I knew I tried to do it by myself. I did. I thought that I could. And I soon realized that that was not possible for me to be able to do anything to get out of what I was in by myself, that I was going to need community. I was going to need to be okay to get help and to ask for help is really what it was. And I think that that was really hard for me to get to a place where, like, okay, I'm going to have to kind of ask for help, because I was really fighting to prove that I could do it by myself. But I did realize that I'm going to need help to be able to get on my two feet.
So what did that help look like? Who did you ask for help from? What form did help come in?
Yeah, that's good. A lot of my help, my mom, I do believe that she showed grace, right, on me. And I think it had a lot to do because she had walked through something similar. And so her grace and just being there for me and supporting me while I went to school, after I got out of, so I got to go back to school. I got my diploma in high school. And then after high school, I knew I wasn't going to be able to go to college right away because that just wasn't feasible or realistic for where I was. So my mom supported me to do this. So I got my like certification in medical assistant. That was like a 7-month program. And my mom supported me while I did that. I don't think that without her in my life, I would have not been able to even get something that was going to give me some sort of decent income to be able to sustain myself and my daughter at that time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's very cool. And how did mentors and people in the church, in your community, sort of show you that a different life was possible? Were you like looking at other people and going, oh, I love this about their family. I love this about their life. I love this about their faith. Like, did you have mentors that kind of helped guide you from where you were to where you wanted to be?
I don't know if it's so much guide, but I think they showed it, there was a lot of action, just showing and being transparent with their lives, opening their homes to us. When I first joined the church back in my early 20s with my husband, there was a young adults group that we joined. We tried married groups. It just didn't work out for us. We just never really fit in with other married couples at our church. So we ended up being a part of a co-ed young adults group. And within that group, the leader, he was married. He had 4 little ones. And we just watched him, like, just be there for us, show up for us, and still take care of his family and still honor his family time. And we were just like, that's what we want. Like, we want to be able to do that. How can we get there? Right. And so, and he would open up his home, invite us over. Like, we just watched them do life. And I think for us, that was hope. Like, that was us seeing hope for ourselves and saying, okay, this is like possible. Like, people are doing it and they're doing it well, and they're happy and they're finding joy and peace in their lives. And we want this for ourselves. I think God really did send a lot of people. Like, we even, we joined church. So I did work for a church back in Maryland when I lived down there. So joined the church, came on staff shortly after. And God just really sent a lot of people our way. We were a part of marriage ministry at our church, and our mentors there were incredible. Like, learned so much from them. We got the honor and the privilege to be able to pour back into other married couples that came through the church, other young adult couples. And I just have seen God just provide all the things that he wanted us to use for good. He provided just a lot of tangible things that I think that we lacked in our lives to see.
Mm.
Yeah.
When you think back to this season of becoming a mom at such a young age, did you face sort of societal stereotypes or judgments from other people?
100%. Yeah, for sure. And I think that's what made it really hard to even envision myself prospering and moving forward, just because I always kind of felt I didn't really have anyone else to talk to, anyone that felt comfortable enough to talk to me. And I guess in another sense, I also like isolated myself from the world for the shame that I felt. There was too much shame to even go out there and make friends and talk to people and tell them where I was at, what my situation was. And that really did hold me back from moving forward. For sure, there was. To move forward, I had no choice but to like get food stamps and get help from the government to be able to even sustain and put food on the table for my family. So I feel like even that, like that was a stereotype that I definitely checked off, right? I checked that one off on my box of being a teen mom, and it was hard. But I think, yeah, I've watched God, even my husband, kind of maybe a little backwards. My husband and I, we were high school sweethearts. So when I went back to school my senior year, I met my husband. And he actually happened to be a teen dad himself. So he had a son just about the same age as my daughter. And we just kind of were there for each other. I feel like if anything, God really did he put us together somehow. He knew what he was going to do with it later on. And we were each other's people, best friends. We were there for each other. We understood each other. And so I think he ended up being that person for me that I could talk to and that would understand what I was going through.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting to even consider, because I obviously don't know what your experience was like, but listening to you, I mean, you had this unexpected experience where you were going to have a baby. You had people judging you. You felt ashamed. Your peers weren't going through the same thing. So you said you didn't really have anyone to talk to and you tended to isolate. It's actually pretty incredible that you took on this new responsibility of being a mom and had to figure out how to get food on the table, and you still got your degree. I mean, explain what that is like for people listening who don't understand how hard it is to do all of that at the same time.
Let's be friends, like the kind of friends who tell each other everything. Drop your email using the link in our show notes so we can keep you up to date on all the latest Collide news, give you exclusive discounts, and share exciting announcements. You'll get a newsletter sent straight to your inbox twice a month. And don't worry, we promise we won't send you any spam. Just curated content that feels way more like an exciting message from your BFF. Subscribe to the Collide newsletter today and be the first to know about all things Collide.
I mean, explain what that is like for people listening who don't understand how hard it is to do all of that at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I guess looking back, I'm kind of like, I understand the things that I've ended up to do as work, being a project manager, just very organized. I think that a lot of that birthed out of the things that I'd started to do early on, becoming a mom. I mean, I had two choices, really, honestly. I was going to step into the mom role, or I was just going to listen to what everyone else was saying that it was supposed to look like. And I think that was the drive for me to want to also, I felt like I needed to make something out of what I had gone through. I felt like I needed to Like, if I went through this hard thing, how can I use this for good? Like, there has to be something. Like, I believed deep in my heart that there had to be something that God was going to do through this. I didn't know what that would look like, but that was like the only thing that I could hold on as hope. Like, that was my only hope, that something good would come out of it, whether it was my daughter's life would be amazing, which it is. And I've seen that. I think that that has been the encouragement of like, okay, like all the seeds, all the things that we planted have come. And I think God also just allowed me to see what my life would have been like if I had God early in my life through my daughter's eyes. And so that's been, for me, even like redeeming to just watch her graduate and watch her do the college life and watch her do life well and honorably and loving God. And I've, yeah, just have been able to redeem that part of my life.
When you were in this space of having to hold on to that hope that you talk about, you said you had two choices. You could either hold on to that hope that God was going to use this for good or not. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if there was a moment for you when you rewind back where you had to make that choice. Was there like a terrible day? Was there a moment where you were like, I'm going to choose this? Was there something someone said? I mean, what was that moment where you just decided, I have two choices and I'm going to choose hope?
Yeah. The moment I saw my daughter, the day in the hospital, I saw her, and there's something, I wasn't ready to be a mom, but there's something that happens, I think, to everyone that gives birth. Like, there is just something supernatural that happens with that. There's like this sense of like, you're a mom. I don't know. It's almost like a birthing of like, I was giving birth to her, but at the same time, I gave birth to being a mother. I don't know how else to explain that, but that's what it felt like. It felt like a transformation in me was even happening when I saw her. And I had this life that was in my hands and I was responsible for. And here I was. It was almost like, for me, this is an opportunity to start over, like to have a fresh start. What can I do now with this responsibility that I have in my hands?
I love that. Instead of sitting in regret, you chose to be empowered, that you could actually sort of co-author your life with God and make choices and hold on to hope and write a good story. If you could say anything to teen moms, what would you want to say?
To a teen mom, to not give up, to really fight for the future of this next generation, for their child to be able to have a better life. I think that when we are put in a place of shame, of thinking that there's nothing else to look forward to, that there is an opportunity. There is an opportunity, and to make a difference through our children, right? We have this opportunity to do it different. Like, yes, just do it different. Do it better, right? Do it better for them. Do it better for this legacy that you're leaving through them. They're going to have kids. Their kids are going to have kids. And it's this ongoing thing of legacy. And so we get to be a part of that. We either choose to step into it or some don't. But I think that stepping into it, there's so much grace, so much beauty if you have God helping you on the journey, for sure.
Why did you choose to call the story of your life? Why did you title it with the word unshackled?
Mm-hmm. So on the cover of the book, there's a butterfly, and within the butterfly, there are chains. And it was an imagery that was given to me during just a time of prayer where I was trying to really visualize what this book would even be like, what would resemble my life journey. And the butterfly was an image that God placed in my heart in that moment of prayer. And that was transformation. I've seen transformation in my life in every single part of my life, every season of my life, whether it was marriage, raising kids, being a mom, being in ministry, all these different paths. Like, I've seen him transform every single one. And I don't believe that he's done, but I got to write about some of the ones that I have seen come to light. And then the chains were the generational chains that I've seen throughout my life too. And I kind of thought, like, you think of like a butterfly, it's so delicate and beautiful. And then you think of chains holding it down. It's not like this butterfly would not be able to fly and be free if it had all these chains weighing it down. And so that was the image that I felt like was the story of my life. Like, I had all these chains, and the minute that I discovered how to start to break them is really when I began to flourish, when I began to fly, like, and just be confident in sharing my story and not having shame to say, I'm a mom. Yeah, I was 16, but God did some wonderful things in my life. And I, you know, it was a long journey of learning and growing, but he really did do something beautiful, and he can do anything in anyone's life, no matter what they're walking through.
When you think about people listening who feel like they're weighed down by chains right now, what's your best advice for them?
Yeah. The best advice that I've even discovered for myself is really, really finding, really naming and finding those things that are holding us down. Like, what are those patterns that are we're seeing kind of follow us throughout our family line? And what are those things that we're weak to, tempted to? Because when we know those, we can fight against them. I will even share an example. When my daughter turned 16, like, that for me was a fearful time. It was a time where I was a mom. And so just even thinking, I knew that that was a time where when I became a mom, is I just knew I needed to pray very specifically for the temptation that I had faced as a young girl and as a teenager. I was praying over her life that she would not walk through the same things that I walked through. And I do believe that there was temptations, things that were coming at her during that year, even so. And so I've seen it kind of happen throughout the lives of my kids and the kids that even that are not my blood kids, but they are a part of our story and a part of our journey. Like, I even kind of think Matthew. So Matthew, he is my brother-in-law, which we adopted about 3 years ago. He was 15. When he came into our lives, and just even that, like, I think, wow, God really is trusting us with teenagers here when we weren't very good teenagers ourselves. And so just something like that, even what an honor. What an honor to be able to raise kids that love him. What an honor to be able to know that these kids are being transformed in our home, that we have this opportunity to minister to them when they're going through something in our home, that they are our first ministry. And yeah, I'm excited to even see what they are already doing for God's kingdom.
So when you talk about people who are weighed down by chains, you found that the most powerful thing to do is to name their temptation, name the thing that they have to fight, which is so powerful. I resonate with that as well. What have you experienced with Jesus when you name those things? How does he help remove those chains off of someone's life?
Yeah, there's prayer. Just reciting scriptures, looking for very specific scriptures that I pray over my children. I anoint my children before every time they start a school year. You know, like, we pray together. We do devotions together every night. Just having that that covering, because I do believe that when because I've had so many opportunities to just talk to families and hear about their journeys, talk to other married couples, hear about their journeys, that I've seen that it's a pattern. When a family is on a mission, the devil's out to get them, right? Because he knows that family is a powerful thing when they're with God. because that family right there, they are going to impact a lot of people. And so I know that covering with prayer, covering your kids, it's a daily thing. It's a daily fight, I would even say. It's a never ending thing. And the minute that we let our guard down is when the enemy tries to sneak in. And so I've learned that the hard way. And that's the way that I've seen the chains break in my family. I've seen it. We talk about it. We're transparent. We're transparent with our kids. We take any moment that we get to have a ministry moment with them is what I call. If there's ever any like red flags or anything that we need to address with our kids, we have it. We don't wait. We have those conversations and then we help them through it. I think walking alongside our teenagers has been the most impactful thing, and hearing them and just hearing this generation and the way that they process things and the way that they're seeing the world. And they're also living in a different world than I was when I was a teenager, or any, I'm sure all moms feel that way. So there is a sense of really listening and walking in this with them is how you really break those chains.
Veronica, I love that you have seen that a new way is possible. And I love that you're sharing that with other people. You're living it out with your kids. And I love that your kids can look at your life and see that a new way is possible, and they can grab hold of the hope that they have in Jesus and continue to live out the legacy that you've handed them. And I love that you're sharing your story with other people, because I think the more that we hear about the power and transformation in Jesus in other people's lives, we can hold on to hope that it's possible in our lives too. So when is your book coming out? How can people grab a hold of it?
Yes. So I don't have the exact date for the book and when it's releasing, but the vision is in November. The best way to stay connected, I would say, is getting either through my socials, or I would say even the website, signing up for the email list, which is unshackled.weeknightwebsite.com. I would say that's the best way to stay connected and to just hear about the book release.
I love it. Thank you for being on today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Friend, I don't know where you're at. I don't know all the intricacies of your history and your past and your family of origin. But what I do know is that if we've been handed things, if we've inherited things that maybe are unhealthy or unhelpful or dysfunctional or wounding, and we start leaving them out in our lives, we start to see that there's patterns in our lives that aren't working, and they maybe resemble patterns of our parents. I know that's true for myself. I shared in that interview with Veronica, my grandmother was an alcoholic, my mother was an alcoholic, and I woke up in my early 20s and my life was in shambles and very much resembled patterns I'd seen in the women that had come before me. And it reminds me of the collision in John 4 where Jesus runs into the woman at the well. And she is there, she's thirsty, and they have this great conversation. There's so much to be said about it, but one of my favorite things is that Jesus actually helps her recognize a pattern in her life that's not working. That's not a fun experience when God sort of lets you know there's a pattern in your life that's not working, but it's the beginning of healing, right? It's the beginning of recognizing, kind of like what Veronica talked about, is the beginning of recognizing and naming, this pattern isn't working for me. This pattern that I got or inherited or was passed down to me is no longer working. And this woman at the well, Jesus says, you're right, you don't have a husband. You've gone from man to man to man to man. And he's not doing it in a way that's shaming her. He's just helping her recognize how freaking thirsty she is. And he actually offers her water that will never run out. He promises that it will well up into eternal life, that he actually has this thirst-quenching spring of water that will actually break the pattern that she's been living out that leaves her so dang thirsty. And it's this beautiful story. And when they're done talking and they have a great conversation, she actually leaves her water jar at the well, the symbolic moment of putting down what she normally uses to quench her thirst and instead picking up Jesus. She runs into her town. She tells the whole town, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. And they come and there's a revival. Like, she brings her village to Jesus. But I tell you all of that because sometimes we have to start by just going, hey, what's a pattern in my life that is no longer working? And you can invite Jesus into that. In fact, maybe life is intervening on you and God's already showing you what it is. But if there's a way that you're thirsty and you keep picking up things to drink, and they're leaving you more thirsty than you were before you drank them, friend, you can invite Jesus to meet you there. And he can fill you. He can replace what that is with something so much better. He can indeed break the power of generational sins and show you that a new way and a new life is possible. You don't have to repeat the patterns of your past, the patterns of your family of origin, but instead, he has a good, bountiful, beautiful, redemptive life waiting for you. You just have to choose it. So friend, keep colliding with Jesus. If you know someone who needed to hear this interview with Veronica, I just encourage you to pass it on right now. Share this to bring someone else hope. We will catch you next week. Keep colliding.